You might like to open your Bible, if you would, in the light of the changing year, and we'll try to have a thought or two that may be helpful tonight on that, and then we'll do the same thing all day Sunday, 1, 2, 3, 4. So, like we did with Christmas. So now, in Psalm 23... And you will note, you're familiar, it's one of the, of all the Psalms, I guess, this would be on the top of the list. And in Psalm 23, David, telling of his unique personal relationship to Christ. And you'll notice as you're looking at Psalm 23, just casually, you will see over 22 times, personal pronouns. And the personal pronouns are like little hooks that tie each thing together. Each thing goes together. So as you're reading it, one hook after another, everything's hooked together, tied together. For instance, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. All of them tied together very simply, magnificently. And truth is very profound and yet very simple. We have the word God, G-O-D. Little word, three letters. Two letters in the Hebrew if you want. God. But you and I would have to take forever, and it will take forever, for you to understand that word. Three little letters. Now, in the light of that, I would like you to go in the light of verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David in writing, God's penman, said surely, and that's a word that adverb has to do with great certainty. Great certainty. There's no question in the mind of the speaker. He's very earnest, much involved, greatly stuck in the middle of what he's looking at, what he's talking about. He's very much involved. Surely what? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, in the light of that, shall follow me. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. I'm going down the corridor of time, man, moving through, ready or not. You can't stop the clock. You can't stop anything. It all moves. Like we shared how many times, illustration, different kinds. The train's going down the track in time. It's biblically and historically. It's going down the track. Believers or people and given compartments, different compartments on the train, can say we're having a good time and we're going to have all the different stuff and we can have that. Other parts, another part of the train is very difficult, war. Think of Korea, North Korea, and all different things, all different parts of the train going down the track. And here's America going down the track. Here's where you live going down the track. But no matter how you improve, no matter who does what, no matter who you elect or don't elect, the train isn't stopping. and you didn't change, and I didn't change, and no one else is changing where the train is going. It's going down the track. And you can fix your compartment, you can make your little area a little more pleasant, but if you look out the window, you're going down the track. Now, having said that, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So here we are going down the corridor of time. God, here we are, we're moving. And yesterday, with all its good and all its bad, with all its baggage, is behind us. And we have to be careful we don't carry baggage with us and collect it in our memory, in our mind, in our heart. Because you can collect baggage without even knowing it, and you try to carry that baggage. Do you know the more longer you live, the greater the baggage? And you go down, and if you carry too much baggage, and you get so used to carrying baggage, you're so used to a way of life, a way of thought process, habit. We carry them. Boy, they can clip us as we go down the corridor of time. So now, God, is there, David, can you give us a little help from your own personal life? And David said, let me tell you how it works. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm able to proceed in a very personal way with God down the tracks, down the corridor of time. So now, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now, in order to put that in perspective, go over, please, goodness. Remember, the goodness has to do with that which is beautiful to the senses. It has to do, especially, it relates to the Greek word, which is internal. Internal, that's external goodness, beauty, internal beauty, and goodness, and goodness. And this has to do with internal, and that shows itself externally. And the standard for goodness is God. He's the standard for all goodness. God is good, and he's the standard. And so all goodness is measured, whether it's good or not, based on the standard. The internal standard, how good are you in here? And you know from Romans, etc., in me, and you know from Romans 1, there is no goodness. And you know, as the believing heart discovers it, Romans 7:18, in me dwelleth no good thing. So we discover the goodness, the best goodness of a human, isn't good enough. And so now, goodness is going to follow the believing heart. Over, if you would, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. And you are familiar, but I'm going to read it. Isaiah chapter 5. And in the list of woes against Israel, you will notice, please, going directly to verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. In other words, you turn everything upside down, and you're calling good evil, and evil good. So, God, if I go and call evil good, and good evil, well, how am I looking at you as a good God? I'm not looking at you very good. I'm looking at you very poorly if I call evil good and good evil. Over, if you would, that now we're going to advance 300 something years and go over to Malachi and see if anything has improved. That's the trouble. When you turn things upside down and inside out wrongly, then you lose everything. And in Malachi chapter 2, the indictment against Israel and 400 years of silence before John the Baptist. And you have a listing of all of them, but here's one of them, Malachi 2, verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. How so? Yet we say, wherein have we wearied him? We haven't. What do we ever say? What do we ever do? Wherein have we wearied him? When you say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? God, everyone that doeth evil is good, and God delights in doing people that do evil. God delights in it. How could you say that? Well, people, the world, humans, that lose God, lose goodness, and they end up with their human good. And their human good has to be called good enough. And that which is humanly good causes you to be eternally lost. It isn't good enough. So when I call good evil and evil good, then, boy, my relationship to God, I've messed it all up, because God is good. Now, back over to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And in fact, just for the sake of picking up it so you sense the word better, look it right next door, as it were, Psalm 25 and in verse 8. Psalm 25 and verse 8. There's your word, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, since he is good and upright, will he teach sinners in the way. He's good and upright. One other place that might be nearby, Psalm 34. Psalm 34, picking up, please, in verse 8. Oh, 34 and 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Discover the goodness of God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Verse 12, for what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? What do you want to live on earth for? Because I want it to come out good. What do you want to live, 10 more years and have it come out bad? Worse? Who wants to keep living with no hope of good? You don't want to do that. You'd want to halt and not go forward, because you're going to hit bad. And that's why God doesn't tell us all of the wonderful things that he will let happen to you. God doesn't tell you them, because you then sit there and condition whether you're going to go. And God said, what? What do you know then in the light that David didn't know as you know it? All things work together for what? For good. Romans 8:28. They're good. Those that love God are called according to his purpose. It's good. Now, here, back over to 23, and in verse 6. And you will note, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy. And we have looked at mercy in the light of the Gospel of John, who is the Lord Jesus, in the light of his full of grace and truth, and then we added the wonderful word mercy. And in the process of that, remember, mercy has to do with bending down, inclining oneself to condescend, to be very big, and come down to something very little, to bend down, to care, bend down to a little one, to come down, to incline, to bend the head, to bend the neck, to bend the heart, to show kindness, to show favor in bending down, to be gracious, kind. abundant to exercise, abundant goodness, exuberant goodness, kindness, bountifulness. And remember, we shared together, here's the mercy of God overflowing, and then everything overflowing, and it all flows together. Overflows, and all flows together. Everything moving, everything in its circle coming. God takes everything and moves it to a center. God's wonderful flowing, overflowing from all sides to a wonderful togetherness. And thus the free, full, flowing favor and faithfulness of God. God being faithful at any given time, in any given place, in the light of everything and forever. God being merciful on the upper, lower, left, right, top, bottom, everything coming together. God is going to exercise mercy. And remember, we shared mercy has to do with the word misery and miserable. And the mercy of God answers the miserableness of human life apart from God. Misery. Miserable. And the answer is mercy. Mercy. And like we shared when we did it, people don't feel miserable. They feel happy. And they feel good until they feel bad. True. They feel happy till they're unhappy. And you know the word hap, to chance, lot. And happiness is the whatever chance lot brings. It's a happenstance, a happiness. Whatever's happening is I accept it, I don't accept it. So happiness is a very volatile word. And we say we're happy. Well, what is happiness? And its happiness is defined by whether it's a good day or a bad day, whether things went well or they go bad. And God said, I know that. That's why I don't give you my happiness. I don't look for you to have yours. I look for you to have mine. My what? J-O-Y. My joy I give unto you so that your joy, see? Otherwise, you got your joy and your happiness, which is very fragile and depends how things go. And if they don't go well, whoop, there goes the whole ball game. Now, God, so goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So here we are going down. Here's David going down, the shepherd, through the valley of the shadow of death. And his enemies are there, and God's there, and he's going down all the way down. But God, David said, do you know, as I traveled, behind me, I always knew behind me God was there. The goodness of God was there. The mercy of God was there. To pick up the pieces, I had an Absalom. I had a son. I had a Bathsheba. I had all kinds of things. And I had the goodness and mercy of God to sustain me while I went. If I didn't have that, I'd be collecting a lot of baggage, a lot of stuff. And it would be awful hard to go forward in a positive way, which is God requires of us, to reckon ourselves dead so that we can do that. Now, in the light of that, so if you would, in the light, follow me all the days of my life, going to be full of confidence, surely goodness and mercy. I have great certainty, I'm counting on the shepherd, I'm counting on God, I have great assurance. Why do you have great assurance? Because I have great certainty. God is God. God is who he is and says what he means and says and does what he says and follows what he said and keeps his word. I have great certainty. And the certainty is that if you have great certainty in your life, you have great certainty that the sun is not out there for us to see now, but if you wait a few hours, it'll be there. And you have great certainty that tomorrow the sun will shine, even if you didn't see it, sun shining. You have great certainty about that. Great certainty about God. Great certainty about him. Move down the corridor now. Having said that, so any day, every day, all the days, God, you're there. So, and you're there for in your mercy and your goodness, God, to supply, to forgive, to pardon, to provide. You're there, God, to pick it all up. I don't know how to pick it up. I goof so many times. Fail, falter, fumble, fall. Boy, God, I would certainly miss out. I would certainly miss out if it wasn't for your goodness and mercy to make it so that I could go another mile, another step, so that I could do it. God, I get tired and weary and wondering if anything could ever come out. But God, when I look and look to you, you're a good God. You are good no matter what. And as I look to you, I realize that you're behind me as much as you are in front of me, God. So you pick up the pieces. I can't put them together, God. I can't handle them. But you can. So here we are moving down the corridor of time over to Psalm 31, you know. Psalm 31. And in Psalm 31, again David will give us, again, some help. Remember, in verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." And then that marvelous statement, my times are in thy hand. All the ups and downs, the ins and outs, any given moment of any given day, God, it's in your hands. In your hands, God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, you're going to have to come behind and make it. I'm not going to make it. Do you want me to make it? I do. God does. Why does God want you to make it? Because that is God's will. That is why Christ died, so that you could make it. God doesn't want you stopped in the wilderness or a halfway house. God wants you all the way. That's what he's shooting for, all the way. Now, having said that, my times are in thy hands. God, whatever time it is. And pretty soon, if the Lord tarries and we live, we may make it to another mark in the calendar. But God, we may not. Over, if you would, in Proverbs, another one that you're familiar, but lock them in to refresh your mind and memory. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, and picking up, if I can, in verse chapter 16, verse 1, the preparations of the heart in man, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from God. Man does all kinds of things, but God is going to give you how it's going to come out. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. So it doesn't matter, well, I did good, or I am good, or I think it's all right. Well, then God will make a judgment on that. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, God. I have to go to work, home, school, all the different things, God to do. And God, I'm going to have to look to you. So I'm going to look to you in the light what it has to be. And then you'll help my mind to think right, to handle it, to roll all my casting, roll all your thoughts upon God, all the works upon God. So now, having said that, and you keep going to verse 33. And verse 32, a marvelous statement. 16 and 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And so what you want to do isn't to be David Livingston or someone have great power or position. No, the thing you want to do is to be able to conquer your own heart. To conquer your own heart. And you have won. You have won. Say, but if I didn't get, I didn't go, I didn't have. No. Conquer your heart. And you are mightier than Alexander the Great and Napoleon and the rest of them. Verse 33. For the lot, how can we do so? For the lot is cast into the lap. Just think of your lap in front of you. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing, deciding thereof is of the Lord. The whole disposing, deciding the whole event, any given event, in the light of forever, in the light of your life, is tied to all 7 billion people on earth. And all those in the lake of fire, and not the lake of fire because no one's there yet, in Hades or Sheol, all those there and all those in heaven. Everything is tied together. See? All tied together. Wow, that's right. Tied together. Well, that's a lot of pieces. Aha. Uh-huh. That's right. That's why God, his ways and his thoughts are, you know what, higher than the heavens. So we don't try to outthink God, outrank God, outplan God. We don't try to do that. No, we aren't going to win. We're never going to win. Never. When you want the best thing for your life, what you want and what God wants, that miles apart, what God would have for you is himself. Now, if that's what you're looking for, then you're with him. God wants you to have who he is. That's all he wants. That's what it's all about. So now in the light of that, so the lot is cast into the lap and the whole working out, God, it's up to you. That's right. God said, it's up to me. So over, Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Uh-huh. So now, God, I'm going to have a wonderful thought so that I keep going and I understand. Psalm 39, David will tell us again in keeping everything in perspective. Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. My times are in thy hand. Uh-huh. And you know the lot, the outworking of that is up to you, God. My heart is your home, so looking to you. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure, how much of my days, that it is that I may know how frail I am. So why do you want to know? To know how frail I am. As the flower of the field, as a blade of grass that grows and all gone. God said, you are but flesh. God, would you help me to know that so I don't think at the age of 20 I'm going to live forever? You see. And to get older. Ah. Verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And we know we've had funerals and stuff. We don't want to have any till he comes. And we're all going, and the people that are left can have a funeral for all of us. You know. the very best day, the very, and very best, putting the verse in focus, the very best 10 minutes, of, I'll give you 10 minutes. Sometime I give them 15 minutes, but we'll give you 10. The very best 10 minutes of your life. However long you lived, look how long you lived, and find the best 10 minutes of all of your life. Take a little bit. Are you looking? Looking for them. The very best 10 minutes of your life. And God said, at their very best, they are vanity. Vanity. No flesh shall what? Glory in my presence. It's vanity. See? Somebody was saying, well, we got to get to God. If you leave God out, there's no goodness. And I don't want to be evil is good and good is evil. I'm not going to play that game. No. No, sir. No, sir, God. Thus, Psalm 90. And may I pick up, you're familiar again, so we keep it in focus, Psalm 90, and picking up, please, in verse 10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. God, would you teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, God. Verse 14. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So I'm not going to enjoy all the days that have passed. I can leave them with God, wonderfully so, under the blood of Christ, and I'm free, no matter what. And you do that, don't you? No matter how good anything you think anything was, you don't count it, and you don't pile it up, and you don't do anything with it. It's all gone. And whatever we got now. That's it. Everything else is gone. Gone. And you can do that comfortably. Why? Because I'm counting on you, God, and your mercy and goodness to put together the whole picture. The cemetery lot, you know. Born, the little stone says, born such and such and died such and such. God, that's my life. Beginning and ending, normally, in our lifetime. God, would you put together all that so that as I go down the corridor of time, it all comes out okay. Thus, picking up over, if you would, Psalm 27, David again, helping us. Now, David, what would you like? And if we read any further in Psalm 90, verse 17, etc., you would have read that may the beauty of the Lord rest upon us. The beauty, what's that mean? Well, it's that which is pleasant, agreeable, the wonderful value, worth, graciousness, favor, may it rest upon us, God. May your beauty rest upon us. That's what makes us valuable. God, you do. I mean, without you, God, how valuable are we? Say, well, I have a job and I have a school and I have this. Well, how valuable really are you? You know. The greatest and bestest, the kings and rulers, all go to the dust of the ground. Psalm. Over, if you would, please, Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What is that? That I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, what do you want to do that for, David? Why do you want to do that? Streets of gold. No. Golden cup. A river, a water that is full of life. No. All the days of my life, for what? To behold the measure word, beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. God, just you. When it's all over, it's just you. You're a wonderful person. Your wonderful promises. Your wonderful person purposes. And when we're all done with everything in time and eternity, it all comes back to you, God. It's all about you. All about you, wonderfully so, about you. So no matter the day or the days, many or few, long or short, hard or easy, clear and plain, cloudy, perplexing, all the day, all the way, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why do you want to go there, David? Because you're there, God. Because you're there. It's because of you, God. And thus, I have an assured outcome, assured expectancy. I'm looking forward to it, God. I'm looking forward to that which is eternal, permanent, beyond the reach of what? Of all faults, beyond the reach of all failure, beyond the reach of all fears, all fault, all falling downs, beyond the reach of death, danger, corruption, contamination, time, worry, want. God, I'm looking there for that. God, that's what I want to keep in focus as I go down the corridor of time, God. I want to look to you. I want to understand. Thus, Psalm 27 and in verse 14. Of verse 13, to get the context, I had fainted, 27:13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This life, right now, I'm alive, said David. I'm alive. And I would quit if it wasn't that I didn't know, God, you are good. And I'm going to know your goodness because it is your will for me to know your goodness. Therefore, verse 14, wait, intensive. The verb is intensive, to roll up your sleeves, to do it with great vigor, diligence. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Be strong and he shall cause strengthen. He shall cause your heart to be strengthened. Therefore, wait, bind yourself to God, bind yourself to who he is and what he's done, and follow him. Follow me, the Lord said, follow me. And while I'm following you, God, you're following me. You see? Follow me, but you're following me. Uh-huh, that's right. It's a wonderful thing. Now, God, here we are, and we're looking for you to do a wonderful work in our head and in our heart. Now, having said that, over, if you would, please, to Ephesians 5. We're able to do something, and it isn't because of, if we don't practice right, we won't be able to do it at all. But if we look to God, it'll come out just like it should. And over here in Ephesians 5 and verse 16, redeeming the time, buying up in the marketplace of life, coming and going every day, work, home, school, play, redeeming, buying up the opportunities in time. God leaves us in time. God, the goodness of God will not fail me in the land of the living while I'm here. redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Evil days. Evil days. Difficult. 2 Timothy 3:1, you know. Perilous times. Dangerous times. You're living in them. You're living in them. And they call evil good and good evil. Sweet bitter and bitter sweet. All twisty. And persecution, as you know, over in the Muslim countries, as you see it, and when you see it in public, public news and public statements, not in Christian, public, then you know it has to exist. And it's not good when the public starts writing about it. God, here we are. It's going to get less and less, hotter and hotter. God, how are we going to proceed then down? Who knows what next year? I don't know what the Lord. Hope the Lord comes. Hope the Lord comes. Hope you work it out. How's he going to work it out? Take us up and let it all fall together under the Antichrist. Wow. God, here we are. So we can proceed, God. God didn't tell us the days are lovely. He said, in the world you have tribulation, be of good cheer, what? Overcome the world. So God never told you it'd be nice. He never told you that. Never told you that. That's the whole upper room, what God said in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. What did you tell us, God? You reminded us that this is going to be no picnic. If you're going to honor me, the world isn't going to honor me. They aren't even interested in honoring me. They'll dishonor me. So you're going to have to make a choice, you know. Like Elijah would say to the people, that either trust God, the goodness of God, or the goodness of Baal. Take your pick. Who do you want to trust, the system or God? So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, in the light of God's wonderful certainty and pledge, here we are on our pilgrim journey going through time. And we're going to be put to the test, no question about it. And how are we going to handle it? Well, we're going to have to look to God. And God is faithful and just. He will not let anything beyond what you can handle. And you're going to be able to do it. You're going to be able to do it and trust God. And God will get us through it every step of the way. And so we're going to go. God, now, what else do we want to know? Well, I want you to know that in surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, David, where you headed, I want to get there, because you're there. And like the psalmist, Psalm 73, what he said, who have I, verse 21, who have I in heaven but you? And I'm not interested in the streets of gold, Psalm 73. I'm interested in you. You, verse 25, make heaven. Heaven is nothing if you aren't there. What good's the streets of gold and everyone's like they are? No good. No good. And if we were to go and install a golden faucet and bathroom for you, now, would that help you with the gas price? Would that help you with food? Would that help you with anything? No. No. So we aren't going to get hung up on the material in the wrong way at all. God, who makes heaven? You do. Therefore, over if you would to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And if I may. Now, where is home, David? Home is where God is. I want to be where you are, God. That's home, you know. You know the expression, it is used sometime. Home is where mother is. Where mother. Mother is going home to mother. Mother. Well, for the believer, heaven is where Jesus is. So we're going home. We're going home. Going home. And thus, John 14, you know, the Lord Jesus is, that's his plan. That's his plan. Surely and goodness will follow us. We keep going down the pathway of righteousness, going down. Goodness and mercy are going to follow us, going to come out right. God, just keep going. Just keep going, he said. And verse 2, Or verse 1, why not? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, don't be all upset about things. I'm going and you're going to be left in the world, and the world's going to be just what it is, and you're going to end up all dying, most of you, persecution or something. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I don't tell you anything that isn't so. I don't make up stories. I don't have to make up something wonderful. Everything I have is wonderful. I don't have to make up anything. I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, and I do, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I am coming to get you to go to my house, that where I am, you may be also. Now, in the process of that, in my Father's house, I'm going to go, and you're going to be where I am, and I'm going to be where you are. But in the meantime, your journey is in time with the trouble, the turmoil, the trauma, and all the other things that describe the world in which we live. Your life, your journey, your heartache, your headache, your physical, mental, spiritual, social, economic conditions as a person. We're all there. No question they're all there. But, God, We're in the process of going forward, and we're trusting surely goodness and mercy to follow us. But here we are here, and yet we're there. Well, God said, be of good cheer, John 17. I am with you. In my Father's house and many abiding places, I want you to be with me. But until you're with me, I am with you. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, and all the rest. Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. God said, on your journey, you're headed to me, and I'm present to see that you get there. Not only am I present to see that you get there, but my mercy and goodness. I am a good God, a merciful God. I'm following your path and putting it all together. So when it's all done, there may be wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. But if you're truly, truly saved, you will be so glad to be in my presence, to see the wonderful, wonderful thing I've done is to take you who are of the dust of the ground and have you line up in a way that is marvelous, to be in the body of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in that body and to understand the magnificence of the word we started with, G-O-D, God. And it will take you forever, timeless forever, to understand who I am. You will have one marvelous, endless eternity of knowing me. And when you're all done, you'll never be done. You'll never be done. Just like all the snowflakes that won't come until February. Each snowflake is different. God said it will take you forever for what I will do for you. You see? Perhaps you have a